Diane and I have had the privilege of meeting lots of unique characters in the years of ministry that we've had together. You know, she never knew me before. She's only known me as a pastor. So, you know, she's had that the whole time that we were together. When we were newlyweds in South Dakota, we met some really unique people. One guy was a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor. He was a single guy, a very interesting character. Missouri Synod Lutherans are the conservative split off of what, you know, Bill Utrecht calls the real Lutherans. They're the ones that split off in the 1800s, just like the Christian Reform split off of us. And that's how they do it. But anyway, so we meet this single, little chubby Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor, and he was very unique. He had done two tours in Vietnam as an army chef, and while there he learned how to make Vietnamese cuisine. So he would invite us over to his house and feed us all these strange noodle dishes with peanut butter on them and things like that. But what was really unique about this guy is that after he got out of Vietnam, went to seminary, then he was a missionary in South America for the Missouri Synod Church for a decade, and then he came to South Dakota. He drove a Plymouth Voyager. Remember Plymouth Voyagers? The first minivans to come out. And the cup holder, well, I rode with him in it once, and I thought, this thing really has a unique smell to it. What that is? And the cup holder next to the driver's side there was full of what looked like coffee grounds. And so I thought, this is interesting. Well, he was a Copenhagen guy, and he just put his Copenhagen in there and let it dry out. And that's what gave it the unique aroma in his van. He said, well, I empty it, you know, when I wash the car once a year. And so that was kind of good. But this guy was frequent in talking about his work in South America, which is what I'm telling you the story for. This show with Robert De Niro called The Mission, it's from the 80s, about the same time I was in South Dakota, he said was very accurate to the area that he was a missionary in. And so he advised that we watch it. I've watched it probably five times now because I think it's an excellent show. And it's about this slave trader. De Niro's part is about a slave trader. He goes in, you know, and it's 1600s, and he captures these natives and then sells them as slaves. Made a fortune doing so. And then he has a conscience attack where God comes and talks to him. And what happens is he quits. He quits the military, and he quits the slave trade. He hooks up with some Jesuits who are in the area, and things start happening. Now, one of the things that he did as a slave trader, well, he did lots of nasty things, but he thought he needed to do some penance for what he had done. So he takes his armor and his sword and puts them in that netted bag and goes dragging those through that jungle. That's De Niro's character right there. And it's so interesting because he tries to climb waterfalls and all that with all this armor and the sword because he's feeling guilty for what he had done before. Now, he doesn't think that he was doing enough penance, which is kind of interesting. But he, the way this thing ends is he finds this tribe, one of the tribes that he had stolen children from and sold them as slaves. And one of the natives recognizes him. And so he has a big knife, and he grabs him and he puts a knife to his throat. And while he's there, you know, he offers no resistance because he figures he deserves to die for what he's done to these people. He's got the knife to the guy's throat, and he's just passive. And so then the native guy goes, looks at him kind of funny, and goes behind him and cuts the rope so he doesn't have to drag that around anymore. See, the native knows Jesus. He didn't know that. And so the guy cuts the rope off, and then it's kind of an amusing scene. He starts weeping because he realizes that his burden is gone, and the natives can't figure out why he's weeping, so they're all standing there laughing at this guy as he's weeping because he's been set free. I think it's a powerful show. I recommend seeing it. It's well worth it. And like I said, I've watched it several times because it talks about grace. It talks about penance. It's a very real thing. It talks about politics and how the church, it's just a good show. He's weeping as he's set free. But the point is, he didn't need to do penance. He only thought he did. See, he didn't have to do penance for what he had done. He knows, he should have known through the Jesuits for sure, that forgiveness is free for the asking. And that our acquittal for everything that we've done or everything that we're going to do is based on faith. Now, you know, I've never been a slave trader. And I'm guessing that nobody here has. But I've done other things that I'm not so pleased with. Stuff that I'm ashamed of. And every once in a while, the memories of that stuff comes back. And it feels like I'm dragging that armor around when it does come back. And every once in a while, I let guilt get to me. And I start dragging around my past. And you all have things that produce guilt too. And, you know, I need to remind you that your conscience is a gift from God. It's like that annoying buzzer in your car when you don't have your seatbelt on. And Toyota has perfected the annoying buzzer. If you don't feel like wearing your seatbelt, you put it on just to shut that thing up. You know, but that's kind of what your conscience is like. It buzzes when you aren't doing something, you know. That's conscience. There's a difference between conscience and guilt. Conscience is a gift from God, but guilt is a gift from Satan. And when you embrace it, you are embracing a gift from him, just like when Eve took the fruit in the Garden of Eden. And it will wear you down. And it's like carrying this big bag of rocks around all the time because it limits you. It removes joy from life. Now, whatever it is that you feel guilty about, you know, it can be big things that if other people knew about, you'd be in jail. Or it can be little things that have hurt people. Hurtful things that you said or done. But here's the good news, folks. All of your guilt is generated in your own head. It doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. You decided to feel guilty, and it's completely unnecessary. You don't need to carry that guilt around. And that is a very basic teaching of Christianity. We're going to look at it today from Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. There's the basics of the gospel right there. Trust Jesus, place your faith in him, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're thinking to do, no matter what you're doing right now, you are okay with God, you're made right with God when you trust Jesus to save you. That's the basics. Paul goes on and explains it like this. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. See, you're all sinners. You can't be a member of a Reformed church and not admit to being a sinner. I think that's a cool requirement for membership. But let's believe that. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, and let's not try to convince God that we're not sinners. He knows. And he freely makes us right in his sight because Jesus freed us from the penalty of sin. And that is my favorite thing to stand up here and say. Trust Jesus to save because he has set you free. Paul goes on with this, verse 25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. See, this, folks, is what theologians call the ransom theory of atonement, that the snake has got us where he wanted us. Our ancestors in the Garden of Eden chose to take life from the snake rather than from God, and in so doing, we all have to die. Well, Jesus offered himself as a ransom for us. And he showed us how this is going to happen. He rose from the dead. The firstborn from the dead is what he's called. The devil didn't know about, didn't realize that there was a resurrection power. See, Adam sold all of his descendants to the snake. And Jesus ransomed us from the snake's control of our souls. He traded himself for us. He allowed himself to be conquered. But the snake didn't know of the regenerative power of God. The snake didn't see the resurrection coming. And now we're free from the power of the snake if we want to be. Paul goes on like this. Can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith. So we're made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. See, we can't do anything to earn our salvation, to get right with God. We can't do it. It doesn't matter, I heard of a pastor in Iowa who, in order to get more people to come to his church, he was going to do some penance, and he sat on the roof of his church for a week. I thought, that's crazy. I'm not doing that. But we don't have to do those things. See, we can't do anything. We're not capable. We can only trust Jesus to do it for us. As the passage says, our acquittal is based on accepting Jesus' forgiveness. We're made right through faith, not by following rules or doing penance. That doesn't help. You don't have to do penance. You're made right through faith. This means that you can be made right with God. Lots of folks secretly believe that's not possible because they've done too many bad things. I hear it all the time. Well, I can't be made right with God because I watch porn every day. It's fun to say that and watch whose faces drop. I've done too many bad things. You think that God will never forgive you? With the full authority of my office as a pastor, I am going to tell you that he has already forgiven you. You just need to swallow your pride and accept that. When you choose to trust him, the deal is done. And then things start to change in your life. Your compassion for other people starts to grow. Your desire to look cool goes away. You will experience contentment. You'll become more patient and accepting. Most of your values will be modified, but most importantly, you don't have to carry that bag of rocks around anymore. Your guilt is gone because you're acquitted. That doesn't mean you're innocent. You did it. But you're acquitted, which means you're not going to be charged for it. You are acquitted. And that is a very cool thing. You're declared not guilty by the supreme judge of the universe. And all that remains is you forgiving yourself. If I could give you anything, it's this thought that you are set free from the snake. You don't have to pay attention to him anymore. The snake wants you to die in guilt. The snake wants your relationship with God to be tenuous. He's been trying to lure the human race away from God and to himself ever since Adam and Eve, and he's not letting up. But you can be free. Just trust Jesus to save you. Now, I've been in Lake and Bethel a long time, and I hope that message is getting through. But I want you all to understand that, and I want you to be able to explain it to someone else. So that's why I'm going to review this at least once a year, because you all need to hear it. We all need to be set free. And that's why we do the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we're going to start up and do right now. In the Reformed Church, a big part of this sacrament is remembrance. You know, it says right in our official liturgy, in doing so, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus for us. What we've just been talking about. We remember what he's done for us. It's also a feast of communion where we connect with him and with each other in a unique way. But my favorite is Festival of Hope. So that's really what this is about. You know, I had last week off, and I don't vacation well because I'm a chronic workaholic. But Diane was cleaning in the basement, which is always a tragic thing to do. But she found this picture, this old picture of a woman in 1800s dress. And on the back of the picture, it lists a studio in Amsterdam where the picture was taken. And all the words are in Dutch. So chances are the reason we have that picture is it's one of our great-grandmothers. But we don't know which one because there's nothing written on it. The hope of the resurrection. The fact that Jesus does set us free from the snake means I'm going to meet that gal one day. Find out who she is. And we'll meet all of our ancestors and all of our descendants. And that's a very cool thing to think about. So let's think about that as we participate in this sacrament. Remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, do so in remembrance of me." Same way, at the end of the meal, he took the cup, and after he blessed it, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Lord, we don't know what we're doing most of the time, as you well know. But we're thankful for the simple, basic truth that we're set free because of what you did for us. So as we take these elements into our bodies today, help us to see that it's you coming into our souls that matters. Amen.